We're turning in God's Word to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We've been reading the same text for some weeks now, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. And this morning we're going to be looking at the fourth fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. If you would, please stand as we give our attention to God as he speaks to us in Holy Scripture. Galatians 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Amen. Let's pray together briefly. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We ask that this portion of Scripture, as well as the whole teaching of your word concerning your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would lead us into a path that will reach a destination where we will enjoy eternal life with you. We ask for faith and also for an obedient and humble heart as we hear your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. All of the fruit of the Spirit are important. I can't help but feel, though, that once we turn the corner from the first three, love, joy, and peace, we start talking about fruit of the Spirit, they get a little bit less attention. The fact that patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit, I think, is maybe a little less familiar to us than the fact that love is one of the fruit of the Spirit. But here we are, and I think this fourth fruit of the Spirit is a very relevant one to us. We are people who are always in a rush, aren't we? We live in Silicon Valley of all places. We have the highways that we have and the lifestyle that we have, partly because we need to learn patience. We don't have patience naturally. But patience is not just a matter of taking things slow or kind of being calm in our daily life in a way that doesn't seem to fit well with the traffic and the noise of modern life. Patience is a very spiritual issue. Put it like this. Impatience is actually a form of atheism. That's what impatience is. Are you impatient? If you're impatient, in at least a small way, you're an atheist. That's what it means to be impatient in the way that Scripture speaks of this virtue of patience. Why would I say that? Well, let me explain. Well, impatience could mean giving up when our circumstances are slow. Giving up when the things that we want and the things that we would like to see don't happen on the timeline that we would prefer. Someone who's impatient is someone who thinks that if God were to take a vacation from running the world and you would replace him, that you would do a better job. You could speed things up. You could get it done. And none of this waiting around. Okay? And that's why impatience is a kind of atheism, because it's a kind of rejection of God's providence. Another way it's a serious problem is that it would involve giving in to suffering. It's another common aspect of the virtue of patience, is that it means enduring through suffering. But an impatient person says, you know, following Jesus, I knew it would be costly, but I didn't think it would be this costly, and I don't think I can bear it any longer. And so they lack patience, and they give in to the pressure to leave Jesus. And they say, well, basically all these problems that I have as a Christian, they're more important to me than having Jesus and having God. And that's how an atheist thinks. God doesn't matter as much as other things. And then a third way that we see this is that impatience often is manifest when we lash out against sin. This is another aspect of patience. Vengeance is mine, the Lord says. I will repay. But, he's not doing his job, and I have to take over. And I will make that person pay, is sometimes how we feel. And so in all those different ways, whether it's giving up when circumstances are slow, giving in to the pressure of suffering, or lashing out against sin, being impatient is a serious problem. It's a real spiritual issue. It is basically a form of atheism, which would naturally lead to the suggestion that if impatience is a form of atheism, where we will get patience from is by renewing our appreciation for God himself. That's where we have to start. God is a very patient God. That's something you should know about him. Just to take one small text of scripture to prove this point, think about the words of Moses in Psalm 90. O Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. And you know, Moses, he had a first-hand glimpse of how patient God was, because his life was pretty slow. You kids, do you know how old Moses was when he left Egypt? You ever learned this? He was 40 years old when he left Egypt. Now, I'm actually not 40 years old yet. And that means that I'd have another number of years before I would reach the point in my life that Moses was at when he made one of his decisive steps of serving the Lord. Now, he did it in a bad way. He lashed out against the sin of one of the Hebrew overseers, and he killed a man. And he was a very impatient person, Moses was. And then do you know what God did to Moses? He gave him 40 years of watching sheep in a wilderness. It's a good medicine for an impatient person. 40 years of watching sheep in the wilderness. And then God did it again, because after all those years of watching sheep in the wilderness, guess what Moses' next job was? 40 years of watching people in the wilderness. Any of you have a preference which type of animal you'd like to watch in a wilderness? I think I might take the sheep. But Moses, he sure had a lot of days and a lot of nights and a lot of long years to ponder the fact that God has been a dwelling place, not just for one little flash-in-the-pan bit of Christianity here and there in our lives, but for all generations, for one generation to another. And there's actually something about God's glory that is revealed in the slowness, from our perspective, of his works. If all of God's glory were revealed all in one go, we wouldn't be able to appreciate it. But as we look over the generations and we think back to all the years of God's dealings with his people from creation till now, and we think about maybe Joseph or Moses or Joshua or Ruth or Esther or Daniel or Paul the Apostle or Peter or some of the heroes of church history, and we think about all that, we can hold in our minds a glimpse of the glory of God, partly because he's a God who works slowly and he's very patient, and that's something that we can appreciate about him. But it can be frustrating to us because it means that God works on a timetable that doesn't fit into our schedule. This is God's providence. God's providence is his holy and wise, powerful, preserving and governing all of his creatures and all their actions. And his providence is not taking a quick poll of all the Christians and asking how we would like him to do that. But he is powerfully, wisely, and holily governing and preserving all of his creatures and all their actions, and that's a process that he has decided will take a long time sometimes. How many years was it from the first promise that Jesus would come to the day that Mary gave birth? At least 4 millennia, right? Galatians tells us that it was in the fullness of time that God sent his son, born of a woman made under the law. The fullness of time, not the convenience of time, but the fullness of time. And God's providence sometimes takes a slow pace. But another thing that's important to understand about God's patience is that it's especially something true about his judgment. Consider the example of Noah. The generation at Noah's time were the people who experienced God's judgment more clearly than anyone else in the world, right? Everybody except 8 people died. And yet that very judgment of a worldwide flood was one of the great demonstrations of God's patience. Because what did God do? Did he just drop all the water in one go? Or did he give Noah a 100-year-long preaching commission to both build an ark and to alert the people of his day to the need to repent and to prepare for coming judgment? Well, of course, it was that second thing that God did. 1 Peter 3:20 says that God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So the people who didn't believe Noah, when the rain started falling, we shouldn't imagine that they were thinking, oh, I have no idea this was coming. What we should imagine them thinking is, oh, all those years I should have listened to Noah. I should have repented of my sin. I should have prepared. They had time. They had space. They had opportunity to change. They had opportunity to save themselves. Sadly, none of them did. And that same principle that Peter draws from the Old Testament story of the flood, he applies to your life and mine in his second letter. 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says that God is patient toward you. Now, in the context, Peter's dealing with the objection that, hey, it sure looks like God's never going to judge the world. So let's just carry on. Let's just go about our daily lives and not worry. To put it in the words of a bus ad in London taken out by the local atheists, there is no God, so go ahead and enjoy yourself. Well, that's a reasonable way of thinking. If there is no God, yeah, enjoy yourself. Don't worry about it. Peter was addressing people who were thinking that way in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he said, no, don't misunderstand. The fact that God is taking a long time to judge the world doesn't mean that he doesn't care. What it means is he does care about you, and he's giving you time to repent. And so the way to use this time is not to harden your heart against God in the assumption that he'll never bother with you, but to soften your heart towards God in gratitude for the fact that he has not already given you more judgment than you can handle, but all the judgment that you deserve. Paul says in Romans 2, verse 4, don't you know that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Are you misusing the riches of his forbearance and patience? This is the question that Paul poses to you. So if you want to learn about patience, the first thing you have to think about is the fact that you deserve immediate and total annihilation and destruction at the hand of God. That's what you deserve right now. And if you're impatient, just remember, God is exercising great patience towards you today. Here you are hearing the gospel again, enjoying another day of sunshine and, well, not rain today, but the normal order of things, day and night. Here you are. God's being very patient with you. And he has been every moment of your life up until now, and every moment of the history of humanity up until now. So God's very patient. Second thing I think you need to understand if you want to have patience is that Jesus is very patient. God sends his Son into the world, and the same patience that is a mark of God the Father was a mark of his Son's life among us. Now, this is true when Jesus dealt with slow circumstances. There were some moments in Jesus' ministry that were exciting. You know, really, really great progress is being made. The kingdom being built, people being converted, people believing and trusting, the crowds growing, all this. But there were other moments in Jesus' ministry, especially as it reached this, the final part of it, where it was one discouragement after another. And there's a very vivid scene in John chapter 6 where after explaining to the crowds that he's not going to reduce their grocery bill by giving them unlimited bread for life, but he will give them spiritual bread and drink from heaven by sacrificing his own body and blood. And if they would drink his blood and eat his body, they can have life forever. Of course, a life that they were not looking for right in that moment because they were focused on bread. And of course, this wasn't a popular message. And Jesus was explaining, no, that the eternal life that I'm offering you is more important than your grocery bill. But when the crowds realized that Jesus didn't want what we today call rice Christians, he didn't want people who were just there for the food, they left. And the only people left at the end of this big problem were his 12 disciples. And Jesus looks at them and says, will you also go away? Now, I think that's an example of how Jesus persevered through challenging circumstances, just a situation that things weren't working out the way that one would desire naturally. No one likes it, just naturally. It's not fun when things are not working out perfectly. But Jesus didn't only serve his Father when everything was exciting. He also served his Father when things were slow, when prayers didn't seem to be answered in as evident a way. And in that, he sets us a wonderful example of patience in service to his Father, even when things are slow. But Jesus' example of patience goes far beyond that, because he's also the chief example of patience through suffering, isn't he? Consider these words again from the Apostle Peter. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, turns out being the Messiah or being the Son of my Father it's too hard, it's not worth it. No, we sang Psalm 16 a few moments ago. I'm just going to look it up because we just sang it. But that's a psalm that really belongs in the mouth of the Lord Jesus in Gethsemane. That's really what that psalm is a prophecy of Jesus' words to his own Father. And in the middle of that garden, where the suffering that he bore for sinners weighed heavily on him, what did he say? You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. Add all the suffering up, and it still doesn't outweigh the great benefit of having you. And so he patiently endured. But not only did he patiently endure the suffering, but he didn't lash out at people's sin. Think of his silence before Pilate. I mean, Pilate is such a moron. Do you know how hard it is to stay quiet when people like Pilate are around? You know, total obvious cowards who are parading their virtue at the very same moment that they're sticking the knife in. That's Pilate. He's a terrible person. And then Herod, could you imagine being quiet while Herod, a murderous fanatic of self-indulgence and greed and pride and snobbery, has the gall to mock the true and living God of Israel? and the calling and anointing that God has placed on Jesus? I mean, being silent in such a situation is very difficult. Or the scheming religious leaders and the mobs that they manipulated. It's hard enough to be quiet when you deserve the punishment. But to be quiet while wicked men are mistreating you in transparent falsehood and injustice is an extraordinary display of patience. He stayed quiet. Not just because he's not man enough to speak up, but because it was his calling to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah that like a lamb led to the shearers, he was mute. Because he went willingly. And the one thing he did say about all those people gathered around his cross was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." He continued entrusting himself to God who judges justly. And you know, that same patience that Jesus had on display in his earthly ministry and his death, it's still a quality about Jesus that you need to know about. The Apostle Paul loved this about the Lord Jesus. Here's his words from 1 Timothy chapter 1. "I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." In other words, Jesus was very patient with Paul, bearing with Paul as Paul had Christians killed, patiently dealing with Paul while he hurled himself in opposition against Christ and his kingdom in every way he could think. And then, at the right moment, bringing Paul to enjoy his grace. And Paul said, "The reason Jesus was so patient with me is so that I could preach and write in such a way that all people everywhere could always know for sure that the gospel is a message for them too. Because if Jesus was so patient with me, you can be sure he'll be patient with you." There's a kind of weariness, I think, that maybe we get because of our sin, where we think that it's probably not okay to keep asking for forgiveness. It's probably not okay to keep thinking that the gospel is available to us, because it's been so long, we've mistreated God for too long. It's just we've probably got to be polite now and go away. But don't forget that Jesus displayed his perfect patience in Paul's life so that you could be sure that if you will believe on him, he would receive you. He's a very patient person. So if God is patient and he sent Jesus to be patient, and then he's given us his Spirit so that the beauty of God's character displayed in Jesus could be brought into our lives, what does it look like when we are patient as Christians? Well, I would first of all point out that the Spirit produces this quality as an aspect of godly character in the lives of Christians. Colossians 1 verse 11, Paul talks about or prays for the Christians there that they would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. Now, I'm just going to ask you to trust me here. Paul's talking there about the work of the Holy Spirit when he says that these Christians would be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. That's Paul's way of referring to the work of the Holy Spirit in this verse. And what are we being strengthened for? Well, it says, verse 11 of Colossians 1, for all endurance and patience with joy. And this is a hallmark of a Christian, that Christians keep going. You may know that the Energizer Bunny from commercials. And there's something of that quality about Christians. They just keep going. And how is it possible? Well, it's possible because God the Holy Spirit is a divine person who has been sent by the Father and the Son to give to us what properly belongs to the Son as a gift from the Father. And one of the things that is a gift from the Father to the Son is a church that will make it to the end. Christians who will outlast hell and reach heaven. That's God's gift to his own Son. Christians who will get there. Christians who will arrive. Christians who will get to that banquet and sit down and eat and drink with their Savior. That's what God wishes to give to his Son more than anything else. You know, you may think, and it's true, that the gospel is about God giving his Son to you. That's true. But it's actually more true that the gospel is about God giving you to his Son. And in order to give you to his Son, you have to actually make it to heaven. And for you to make it to heaven, you need the Holy Spirit. So God sent the Holy Spirit so that you, being strengthened with all might, would endure with patience and joy. And that's God's gift to you, but it's also God's gift to his Son. So the Spirit produces that quality. What does it look like practically? Well, when God's providence is slow, we need to be patient. We need to keep praying when God's answers don't appear on the schedule that we might desire. There's a reason that the Psalms talk about waiting patiently on the Lord. That's one of those phrases that can sound just kind of like, Bible talk. I waited on the Lord. But it actually means something. It means you don't pray as if God is waiting for you to give permission to do what you want him to do. That's not Christian prayer. Christian prayer is you asking God that he would reign in the way that he dispenses the benefits that you desire. There's a great mystery here. It's often a very painful mystery. We pray for health and God gives sickness. We pray for conversions, but God doesn't change hearts the way that we desire. We pray maybe for new ministry opportunities, but God gives new opposition. What's going on there? Well, the basic thing that you need to understand is that God can answer your prayers better than you can ask them. And when you pray for health, what are you really praying for if you're a Christian? Underneath all of what you desire is a desire for the resurrection. That's what you want more than anything else. And for some of you, good health in this life won't be the road that leads there. But there will come a day when unfailing good health will be the inheritance of all of God's people. Maybe the ministry opportunities we desire will come through the challenges that are all we can see right now. Maybe the conversions we desire will be more glorious and more beneficial to the cause of Christ and to the people we love if they come in the future instead of today. We have no way of sorting all those details out, so we wait patiently for the Lord, but we don't stop praying, and we certainly don't assume that praying doesn't mean anything or doesn't work. We wait patiently. Another thing is that we keep serving, even when God's blessing seems to be withheld. It's It's just a temptation or a challenge. Often the most difficult moments in the Christian life are not the hardest moments exactly, they're just the quietest moments. It seems like nothing's happening. Paul warns us not to be weary in well-doing. And isn't it often just the sheer fact that there's still more to do that is a temptation to leave our service to Christ? But you be patient. Keep going. Keep serving. You will reap what you sow. It does matter. Some of you are maybe thinking of particular things. I mean, hoping for a spouse. It's a common one. How can I be patient in that? Well, it means serving the Lord faithfully in your current situation. It means not being in a rush to get on to the next phase of life when you have currently a phase of life that could be used for God's glory. And it means being confident that if the Lord desires to bless you in that way, He will in His good time. And there's a certain calm and happiness that can come from knowing that God's providence is actually governing this situation, not just the choices and decisions that you make. Parents, thinking about your children. Will they make it to college? Will they launch? Maybe there's some signs or indicators that you're thinking, oh, I wonder if this will ever work out. Be patient. Be patient. Keep serving the Lord by serving them and showing love to them. It's a long haul thing. So those are some ways to be patient in the slowness of our circumstances. What about being patient in our suffering? And here's, I think, where it gets really challenging, really difficult. The Apostle James tells us, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And this is something I so appreciate about Scripture, actually, that we not only hear the name Isaiah or Elijah, but we get enough of a glimpse into their life to know how we could follow in their footsteps. I hope you love reading the prophets. I really hope that you do. I hope you enjoy even imagining that you are part of a great company of people who includes such luminaries as Jeremiah and Ezekiel. These are great men. Men who saw into the heights and depths of reality and lived to tell the tale and write for your benefit God's words to you about these unseen things. But you know, it's easy to say that they're great men and forget that Jeremiah spent a good portion of his time at the bottom of a big well filled with mud. And he was only rescued by a few brave friends who dared to resist the king. We don't know for sure, but Isaiah was almost certainly martyred under the cruel reign of King Manasseh. There's a suggestion that he was cut in two with a saw. Nobody listened to Elijah while he was alive. Everybody mocked Ezekiel. Nobody liked these people. But they are still today bright, shining examples of the immense spiritual value of a Christian's life. Because what are Christians? They're people who live in heaven even as they walk on earth. And that's what those prophets were. And your life is of unspeakable significance. It's just that the world makes it seem as if it doesn't matter. One of the things about patience that I hope you will take away is that it's much easier to be patient when you know the goal. When you know the goal. Most of you know that my family is getting ready for a trip. And there's a certain young man in our house who pretty much every day thinks that, okay, well, we're going to eat breakfast and then we're going to go. Right? And it's hard for him to be patient. But actually, the impatience he's got is actually almost a good example of the patience I'm talking about, because he's not giving up on going. See what I mean? He can't wait to get there, but he's certainly not giving up on the plan. And that's really what we're talking about when we talk about patience, not giving up. But wouldn't it be a strength to your Christian life if you walked around with more of heaven in your mind, more of God's judgment in your mind, more of the promises that God makes about what our life will be in the resurrection, or even in the intermediate state when we see Christ and the saints and angels glorified before our resurrection? I think that would be a strength to you. Because basically the reason people give up is they think it doesn't matter anymore. But it does. It does. So patience. God is patient. Jesus is patient. So please repent of your sin and trust in Him for forgiveness. And begin a life of living with patience and running with patience the race that is set before you, fighting the fight that is set for you to fight until the day comes when you are brought safely into God's heavenly kingdom and you can rest. This is the virtue of patience, and it's a fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you would give us the blessing of patience that we've been hearing about from your word. We know it's one thing to hear the word and another thing to enjoy the reality. And we do pray that you would bless those who walk in weariness and run in fainting. Bear us up on wings like eagles. Give us new life and new energy and new strength so that we may run without being weary and walk and not faint until the day comes when we need run or walk no longer. And we ask that you would help us to enjoy and appreciate and thank you for the great patience you've displayed to us, not treating us according to our iniquities and sins, but giving us so much time and space to repent. We ask that we would make good use of every moment. And at the same time, we pray that Jesus would come quickly so that we may reach our destination. We ask this in His name.